This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 20th of December, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Sabrina Halverson on the news. The Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more. In the news, no change at the top of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture in the new Braun administration, and the challenge of raising the perfect Christmas tree. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here too, detailing a clipper system that has some snow in parts of Indiana. And finally, Thursday, the bean market moved higher after a slow roll to oversold. We'll have Mike Silver market analysis on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The director of ISDA remains on the job and the challenges facing the future of the Christmas tree industry. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, Hoosier Ag Today has exclusively learned that Don Lamb has agreed to continue serving as director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture once Mike Braun becomes Indiana's next governor. Lamb will work with Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, who will also serve as the state's new Secretary of Agriculture. Lamb, who was appointed by Governor Eric Holcomb in March of 2023, was asked to remain on the job by Governor-elect Braun this week and continue in that role in his new administration. We'll have full coverage, including a conversation with Don Lamb in the coming days, and you can check that out at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, just a few days ago, we were telling you about the agreement reached by congressional leaders to avoid a government shutdown. But now, House leaders are back to work trying to come up with a new spending bill. Eric Pfeiffer explains why.
Several reports are now saying that President-elect Trump and Elon Musk, who Trump tasked with running the newly created Department of Government Efficiency, have spoken out against the continuing resolution that included $10 billion in farm aid. With Congress facing a Friday deadline to keep the government open, Farm Bureau Vice President of Public Policy Sam Kiefer is pushing for the original bill to get passed.
There's a good sum of money for states and communities that have been devastated by wildfires and hurricanes and floods in general, and specifically for agricultural assistance. And $20 billion out of the $100 billion for natural disasters is targeted to agriculture. And beyond that, there is $10 billion specifically earmarked for agriculture economic assistance.
It also includes the ability for retailers to provide year-round sales of E15 gasoline. Kiefer says the bill doesn't provide everything agriculture needs, but it's a good bit of relief for now. And Farm Bureau is asking farmers to engage with their elected officials.
Every elected official is important. The last 3 days, it's been a process of engaging with the leadership in each chamber. But at this point, votes are what are needed to get this across the finish line. Every elected official needs to understand how important this critical assistance is for farmers.
Reach out to your legislator and get involved on the Action Alerts page at fb.org. You can find a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Remember that puny Christmas tree that Charlie Brown picked out on the old TV Christmas special? You don't want that in your home. You want a big, beautiful, real Christmas tree, don't you? Well, Sabrina Halverson reports how producing those perfect, real Christmas trees have been more and more challenging.
The U.S. Christmas tree industry is a vital and resilient sector, providing about $2.5 billion in annual revenue, according to Justin Whitehill, assistant professor at North Carolina State University and director of its Christmas tree genetics program. With about 15,000 growers across the nation, Christmas trees are cultivated in every state, with key production areas in Michigan, Oregon, and North Carolina. Despite its successes, he says the industry faces mounting challenges from climate change.
We're seeing more drought occurring for longer periods of time, and that drought is really putting a little bit more stress on the Christmas trees, which makes them a little more susceptible to either diseases or pests that maybe are kept at bay under normal conditions. And when the stress kind of accumulates, that's when those things start to ramp up, and that causes more challenges for our growers.
He emphasizes that these environmental pressures vary by region, with distinct challenges in the Pacific Northwest, the Great Lakes, and southeastern states. He also highlights the long-term commitment involved in Christmas tree farming.
If you want a 6 to 8 foot tall tree, we're talking anywhere between 6 to 8 years of growth, and that's on top of the 2 to 4 years that we've already had happening in the greenhouse and in the transplant beds. So it's a long-term investment that our growers are really committed to, and I think it's important that folks realize that we can't just develop trees or grow a tree within a year. We have to plan for 10 years down the road what our crop is going to look like.
On a positive note, real Christmas trees offer environmental benefits, being biodegradable and recyclable. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller. Who's your Ag Today? Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here, we're going to be dealing with a clipper system for your Friday. We watched this move across Minnesota and Wisconsin yesterday. Cloud cover from it started to work in overnight last night, and we're going to be dealing with it through today. Now, I think most of what we see precipitation-wise for your Friday is going to be from I-70 northward. I won't rule out flurries south of I-70, but I think anything that's going to be dealing with a fresh coating to an inch or two, that's going to be north of I-70 and predominantly US 24 northward. So we'll watch for that, but we're not the area that sees the best chance of snow. That's up in Michigan, and then, oddly enough, down in Ohio. If you're planning on traveling east into Ohio, be ready. Your Friday might mean a little bit of a traffic snarl, because there's going to be some on again, off again snow there, coating to several inches, and the winds are going to be pretty strong. Ohio is the best area for snow over the next 24 hours here, in my opinion. Anyway, back to our neck of the woods. I think the northern stuff is going to be a nuisance, and maybe it blows a little bit, but no major problems as long as you take your time. Everything's going to be done by the time we get to midnight tonight, and we're on our way to partly sunny skies for the weekend. Don't get me wrong, though. It is cold for the weekend. Canadian high pressure is in charge here, so definitely seeing below normal temperatures for both Saturday and Sunday. We go into Monday, and we start to see some clouds build. The clouds are building because warmer air is moving in. Temperatures definitely not as cold Monday. Increasing clouds through the day. Overnight Monday night through Tuesday, we see hit and miss scattered rain and wet snow showers. Minor totals, a few hundreds to a few tenths. That's all. Coverage around 60%. But it is a priming of the pump for Wednesday, Christmas Day, where we see rain pretty much all day long. Can see a tenth to three quarters of an inch out of that. Nice round of moisture through the state. We follow that up with a dry Thursday, the 26th, and a dry start to Friday, the 27th. But then we have a big weather system coming through in two waves for the weekend, the 28th, 29th. That's going to bring rain quarter to 1 inch easily with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. Behind that, we are staying warm for the 30th and 31st. There is some cold air pooling to the north in Canada. Whether that breaks free for the New Year's Day holiday or whether it waits a little bit, still yet to be determined, but it's there. Get ready. We're going to see another surge of cool air for early 2025. I don't think it's a long-term blast, though, because I'm also seeing a big upper-level ridge building over the western United States. So I think for that first full week of January, we could see temperatures pop right back up into that mild zone again. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed markets. As beans go higher, corn follows. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have final numbers coming up. We begin with market analysis. I grabbed it at the end of the session from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. We did have higher corn and bean markets, led higher on Thursday, Mike, by soybean futures. A welcome change after a lot of intensive selling in recent sessions. But finally, a correction. I believe we were overdue for that.
Well, yes, we were overdue for that, certainly. And after making those lows in the soybean market, certainly we would not get anyone to disagree with some recovery of the soybean futures market, certainly beneficial today. And that spilled over and it's helping support corn. It hasn't helped the wheat market any, but it's also Export Thursday. So let's talk a little bit about the export numbers. The export numbers for corn came in above expectations. Well, they were up toward the upper end of expectations. Let's put it that way. 1.174 million metric tons. Last week's number was 946, so a better number than last week. Again, it was at the upper end of expectations. The soybean export sales number came in at 1.424. Last week's number was 1.173 million metric tons. So this week's number was better than last week, which is a good thing, obviously. Any week-to-week change in export sales, certainly at this time of the year and with our current export program in soybeans, is very beneficial. Plus, today we did get a flash export sale to an unknown destination, and that probably will be China, because it looks like China has front-loaded. And in this week's export sales report, in some of the detail, if you dig down into the commentary and the detail, it does look like there was switching from the previously announced unknown destinations to those destinations being China. So that drama continues, and it needs to, and China needs to buy more beans from us. The wheat number came in at 290,000 tons. Excuse me, that was last week's number, 290,000 tons. So this week we came in at 457,000 tons. So this week's number better than last week. So that's enough for that part of the export analysis. If I look at the pace to meet the USDA seasonal target, or to meet the target on a seasonal basis, our corn export sales are running 7% of the pace needed. Our soybean sales are running at 4% ahead of the pace needed. And all of our wheat sales to meet the export projections in the latest USDA balance sheet, which came out on the December WASD report, and that was on the 10th, we are down 1%. So export sales and export shipments, obviously very important to maintaining solid pricing opportunities and firm pricing opportunities and better pricing opportunities and higher futures prices in both corn, soybeans, and wheat. Now, obviously, we have some headwinds in play, Andy. It's no surprise for anyone that watches the news that we know that we have some challenges here coming up by this weekend with the with the U.S. budget extension, and we know all the things that are associated with that, and we know that we have some resistance there in terms of and some time constraints, if you will, to get something passed, and that's huge, not only for agriculture, but for the general economy. So a lot of eyes are being focused on the outcome of that, and hopefully by the deadline this weekend, Saturday, that we'll come to some resolution, because if we don't, the consequences of that are not good, obviously, especially in terms of intelligence information, in terms of our USDA reports. We have a big USDA report coming out on January the 10th. That's our final WASD report, if you will, and crop production report for the crop that we wrapped up this fall. It's also is the date, that January 10th date for our quarterly grain stocks report. So a lot of important information, information flow and information that's important to the marketplace is dependent on some resolution here to the budget extension, if you will, the farm bills in play, and just on and on and on and on. And over the years, Andy, we've talked many times about the so many factors that affect grain prices, and we know that supply and demand, that a lot of us think about, you know, prices affected by supply and demand, and they still are, but there are so many external factors, grain futures and futures in general. All commodities are considered as an equity and traded by not only producers of those grains, but obviously by other market participants. So the saga continues, Andy. And of course, you know, we're coming into that time of the year now as we enter the Christmas holidays coming up here next week. We'll have some shortened trading hours, and we know, and trading sessions, and we know that oft times that provides some artificial volatility to the market, in addition to everything else that's going on. So the important thing is, as I conclude this ranting this afternoon, is just that we have to stay attuned to what our marketing plan is, our individual marketing plans, and avail ourselves of opportunities. The corn market, obviously, we're down from the highs that we made right after the last WASDE report, which was on the 10th. The soybean market, obviously, is showing a little bit of recovery today. So we just want to make sure that we have a good, solid marketing plan in place, and that we keep ourselves abreast of what's going on, not only from the reports that we get currently from USDA, but from the other market intelligence. And we know that the value of the U.S. dollar is a huge factor, because it affects our export sales. And so many things to watch, Andy, and I pledge that we'll continue to do our best when we talk to supply our listeners with the information that will help them make informed and educated marketing decisions.
Broker and analyst Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now, the Thursday settlements up a few in the corn market. March, 440 and three quarters, up 3.5. 2.5 better on the May, 446 and a quarter. July, 449 and a quarter, 2 cents higher. A gain of 11 and a quarter on the Jan beans, 963. March, 966 and a half, up 13 and a quarter. And May, 13 and a half higher, 975. Down 8 and a quarter, March and May wheat. March, 533, May, 543 and a half. And down in the meats, February live cattle, 186.55, $1.77 loss. Down just 7 cents on Feb lean hogs, 83.62. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.